This is Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, Senior Editor at Yes Media. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. In the weeks after the October 7th Hamas attack on Israelis, there were numerous claims about mass rapes by Hamas soldiers of Israeli women. Soon after, in November, the group Physicians for Human Rights Israel released a position paper claiming that mass rapes took place. And then in December, the New York Times published an investigation making similar claims. The two reports were widely cited to justify Israel's brutal and ongoing genocide in Gaza. Now, Yes Magazine has published an in-depth investigation of our own, an unusual undertaking for a solutions journalism outlet like ours, debunking these two reports. And the journalist behind it is Arun Gupta, investigative reporter whose work has appeared in The Washington Post, The Nation, The Daily Beast, The Raw Story, The Guardian, The Intercept, and of course, Yes. His explosive story for Yes is entitled Claims of Mass Rape by Hamas Unravel Upon Investigation. And I should disclose for the audience that I was Arun's editor for this story. Welcome to the program, Arun.
Thanks for having me on, Sonali.
So first, let's talk about the reports themselves and how seriously they've been taken. They are available to audiences. They're linked from your story. People can read them themselves. And if you just look at those stories, it sounds horrific. It sounds, you know, like something, it can sound very credible for someone who's not an investigative journalist. Is that a major reason why you felt it was important and worth the time, the months that it took for you to debunk them?
Exactly. And also the fact that it was having such an influence on global public opinion. And for anyone who's not well-versed in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, I don't think they realize how sophisticated Israeli propaganda is. They use this term Hasbara, and they have used these allegations, completely unsubstantiated allegations of mass rape, explicitly to wage a brutal war against Gaza. That was one of the things I reported in my Intercept piece, and will also be in a forthcoming article in Yes Magazine.
Right. So many of the stories, many of the allegations about what happened, you know, horrific sounding allegations, basically were on the basis of about a dozen witnesses, only two of them claiming to have actually seen firsthand something happening before their eyes. Tell me a little bit about these witnesses and why so many of them are so questionable.
Yeah, so what we did is we looked at 11 different media investigations, or 11 different investigations, including the New York Times report and the Physicians for Human Rights Israel, as well as others by outlets such as BBC, Reuters, Washington Post, Associated Press. And it started to become clear that you see the same names over and over again. And furthermore, we can categorize these 12 individuals into various groups. Now, there are some others, but it's really these 12 individuals who account for the vast majority of claims that you see. And one thing to understand is some outlets for completely inexplicable, but reality bogus reasons would anonymize these sources. There was no reason to do so because we were easily able to identify who they were. And also many of these sources use partial names or they use different spellings of names. There's one individual, Simcha Greineman, who has at least six different spellings of his name. And what this does is it makes it appear that there are many more witnesses than there are. So in terms of these 12 witnesses, five come from this organization called Zaka. And that's what I was referring to in terms of Israel weaponizing these claims. Zaka volunteers were all over the media. And in fact, there more Zaka volunteers, and they stayed outright. There's one individual in particular, Yossi Lando, who on four different occasions, he's a senior official, he's talked about, we use our imagination. When we go into the houses, the bodies are telling us stories. They're outright saying they fabricate stories. And Yossi Lando was one of the individuals that the Times used for its discredited report. And in a follow-up report, the Times devoted a huge portion to basically whitewashing Zaka and Yossi Landau. Now, he's told all sorts of fabricated stories, such as a pregnant a mother and fetus that was butchered by Hamas. At least four of the 12 witnesses have told this fabricated story. And all the Zaka stories appear to be fabricated. Then three of the witnesses come from a military base, Shura, a military morgue. They've also fabricated stories. Then you have two witnesses who discovered bodies after they had been killed, human remains. One is this paramedic with the elite Israeli search and rescue unit. Another was just a music festival promoter. And so when it comes down to it, there are actually only two witnesses who claim they saw rape. One of them is Roz Cohen. He is former Israeli Special Forces. And then this anonymous witness, only known as Sapir, who initially came to the public via clips from a police video. And both their stories, Cohen's story changes repeatedly. Sapir's is utterly outlandish. She's claiming she saw five gang rapes, Hamas militants carrying around three heads that they were having. She's indicating that they were having sexual relations with the heads. Both Roz Cohen and Sapir are indicating that militants are having sex with corpses. And the fact is, these incidents would have left so much forensic evidence, would have left so much photographic evidence, and yet Israel has not produced any. So what you have of these 12 witnesses, eight of them have fabricated stories, 11 of the 12 are tied to the Israeli military and police. And I'll just say, could we imagine a world in which Hamas militants are putting out stories, they're known to fabricate stories, and they have no evidence whatsoever for their stories, and all the media is like, this absolutely happened, this is true, the way that the New York Times, the New Yorker, BBC, and many other publications have acted like there is solid proof that these rapes happen. And I think the real danger is that this is going to undermine rape as a weapon of war. It does real damage to feminism.
Undermine the undermine the seriousness of rape as a,
Yes. Undermine the decades of work it's taken to get rape recognized as a weapon of war, because what you'll have in the future is states and non-state actors, when they have credible allegations that they use rape as a weapon of war, they're just going to turn around and say, well, Israel lied and this is just more lies. So this is all extraordinarily dangerous. And as I added, Israel is explicitly using this. They've said this, that they're using the Zaka stories to help them deepen the legitimacy to act with greater force. In other words, they're using atrocity propaganda as cover for genocide. This is why this has to be debunked, because I get people saying, like, well, why does it matter?
Arun, right as your story was on the verge of publication, the United Nations, United Nations official put out a report that seemed to confirm, again, the same kinds of things that the New York Times and the Physicians for Human Rights Israel put out, a UN envoy, Pramila Patton, and the news... The news headlines coming out of that report, again, seem to confirm, you know, for example, AP saying a UN envoy says there are reasonable grounds to believe Hamas committed sexual violence on October 7th, convincing information, quote unquote. What do you make of this?
So the UN report is very similar to the Physicians for Human Rights Israel report, because the thing is, they're releasing these reports, that are like a dozen pages. That's the Physicians for Human Rights. The UN report is like 24 pages. And yet in both, the evidence is only 3 pages. That's how thin it is. On top of that is just extraordinary misreporting on the UN report. Because if you actually look at the UN report, what Pramila Patten is, first of all, she is not qualified to investigate. She was sent because the UN refuses to cooperate with the Independent Commission of Inquiry that was actually set up to look into these all sorts of aspects of the occupation. And Israel calls them anti-Semitic because they say Israel is engaged in illegal occupation of Palestine. So what Israel did is they really just bullied and browbeat the UN into sending an unqualified, basically, agent to go to Israel to look into this. Secondly, if you look at what she actually says, she says that they relied solely on Israeli authorities, and that should be about worth as much as the paper it's written on. In the report, she actually says, like Kibbutz Be'eri, where there's numerous allegations of sexual violence, that they could not find any evidence that there was sexual violence. She says allegations about sexual mutilation and targeting of sexual organs does not is there is no real proof of that whatsoever. She cites various fabricated stories by Yossi Landau, by Sherry Mendez, who we mentioned in our investigation. Both of them claim to have seen this butchered fetus and mother. And she's like, there's no evidence this happened. She says there's no evidence of sexual mutilation of women's organs with metal objects. And so it's what it reads to me like is that she is just someone who is really browbeaten into basically presenting the Israeli side without any real investigation whatsoever. Now, she does say that there's credible allegations at the Supernova Music Festival, but the fact of the matter is when you read, and it's just one short paragraph, many of those allegations are coming from Zaka volunteers, and she can be seen in a photo with Yossi Landau, meaning she is talking to just the biggest fabulist out there. This guy is the George Santos of the October 7th atrocities, and she's taking his word, a known fabricator of stories who admits he invents stories, as somehow proof of credible allegations. So I think this is just, the media didn't read the report. You have a corporate media that has completely just thrown down with genocide. And if there's ever war crime tribunals, I think editors of all these publications should stand trial for incitement to genocide.
And already the New York Times has sort of tried to half-heartedly backpedal from its investigation. Others have tried to poke holes in it. And I should just say, for the record, that you brought me your version of this story, which centered in January on just the New York Times. You then expanded it to include the Physicians for Human Rights Israel. And so since January, you've been working on this. And you also spoke with something we haven't mentioned on the interview yet. You spoke at length with Hadas Ziv, who is the main author of the Physicians for Human Rights Israel report. That report, the PHRI report, which has not been as widely debunked, if at all, is also something that lends a lot of credence to these allegations because it's an organization that has a lot of credibility. It's actually a sort of a leftist organization. It's been very critical of Israel's occupation. It's done some really good work in exposing what Israel is doing in Gaza. Tell me a little bit about this nearly 2-hour interview that you had with Hadas Ziv, the author of this PHRI report.
Yeah, so that's right. I came to you and another publication in early January, submitting this article debunking the New York Times report, and the other publication used my reporting and research without credit. So, in terms of the Physicians for Human Rights Israel, I had a 2-hour conversation that got heated at times. She repeatedly accused me of acting like a prosecutor, questioning a rape victim in court. I finally said to her, not all interviews are friendly. Because when you read the report, first of all she did was Google up the same allegations. And of those 12 witnesses that I talked to, she mentions eight of them. And in fact, she keeps mentioning one repeatedly. In four different footnotes, she mentions Sapir, the woman who claims to have seen this gang rape by five women by 100 militants. And so I was questioning her, like, what is your evidence? And as also, and she didn't have any evidence because she's just Googling up reports. And I'm asking her about, well, did you know that this paramedic from Unit 669, he fabricated stories about a dead baby found in a trash can and about Arabic sentences written on homes in the blood of their victims. Both of these would have left very clear and extensive forensic and photo evidence, and none exist. And she was just like, I was not aware of this. And I asked her, did you look at all available reporting? And she said, yes. And then when I started to ask her about all these fabrications, she said, I didn't realize this. When I told her about Zaka fabrications, she said, this is horrible, And she's like, if I'd known about this, maybe I wouldn't have included them. And as we were going through the report, and as I mentioned, it got pretty heated. She kept saying, like, I stand by my report. But the fact of the matter is, she didn't have a leg to stand on. I basically, none of the stories added up. When I was talking to her about Sherry Mendez, who claimed that children and grandmothers were raped until their pelvises were broken and all sorts of like atrocities. And Sherry Mendez is this untrained architect who worked as a volunteer cleaning women soldier bodies at the Shura Morgue. And all her stories have been debunked. And she's at a morgue. You would expect there'd be a huge amount of forensic evidence, yet none has been shown. And the real story is Israel is fabricating atrocity propaganda to cover for its war. And I think the real way to understand this is that Israel has basically created a modern day version of a 19th century panic that white feminine purity is under attack by savage hordes. Same thing, history we've seen in America during slave rebellions, during the genocide of Native Americans, that white women are under attack, therefore we need to wipe out the savages. That is exactly what's going on. Israel is just a settler colonial state using these old tropes. And unfortunately, Physicians for Human Rights played into it. I could tell that she genuinely believed that, but talking to other people, other leftists in Israel, it's clear that, there's this kind of like just mass groupthink on this rape issue that virtually everyone believes it happened, despite the utter lack of evidence, no photo evidence, no forensic evidence, no survivor testimony whatsoever. And the Physicians for Human Rights, unfortunately, really helped to propel this atrocity propaganda to new heights.
The story that you and I are talking about, Arun, is just out in, yes, it's called Claims of Mass Rape by Hamas Unravel Upon Investigation, an in-depth investigation done by my guest Arun Gupta for Yes Magazine. Kind of unusual for Yes to publish such an investigation. We are a solutions journalism outlet, but we felt this was really important, and it seemed as though at the time, at least in January, it wasn't an easy story to get published. One of the things that I also want to make very clear about is that this story was heavily fact-checked. We have a separate fact-checker that has gone through in detail every single claim made by Arun, and it's a really important way to look at the facts of what's happened on the ground, because facts, I think, are what are missing or are getting mixed in with these fantastical claims. Because I also want to make clear, Arun, it's not as though you and I are saying that Hamas did not kill a whole bunch of people in Israel. It absolutely did. But this idea that they committed mass sexual violence allows Israel to paint them as you point out, and I think you're quoting human monsters, which, you know, dehumanization is the first step for genocide, right?
Yeah, no, this was, there was an Israeli official in Benjamin Netanyahu's office, basically in the National Information Directorate, which is their propaganda outfit that coordinates propaganda across the government. You know, they use this term Hasbara, which means propaganda explicitly. And he said, the entire state of Israel was fixed on framing the narrative that Hamas equals ISIS immediately after October 7th. And you have Israeli officials like Netanyahu, and then US officials like Biden, Anthony Blinken, Austin, the defense secretary, all saying days after October 7th, Hamas is ISIS, because what this says is that the world needs to wipe out Hamas, and by extension, Palestinians, because the Israelis make no distinction between Palestinians and Hamas. And that's what we've seen that they've done. And the same official, Eitan Schwartz, in Netanyahu's office, he's the one who said that these wonderful men of Zaka, you know, they showed they told these stories to Western reporters, and there was outrage over what human monsters they were. And this deepened the legitimacy of the Israeli state to act with great force. So, you know, what we really see is a concerted, organized propaganda campaign. And I would also recommend that people read my Zaka piece, because their history is just absolutely appalling. This is an organization whose founder appears to have raped hundreds of Israeli children. And so the bitter irony of this all is Zaka, this organization that is propagating what looks to be all these fabricated claims, is responsible for the actual rape of far more Israelis than all the fake rapes of fake Hamas rapes of Israelis combined. And this, I think, is really encapsulate what this whole war is about, right? Where Israel is acting in self-defense to commit genocide. Everything is turned upside down. And I do want to emphasize, this just does such damage, I think, to feminism, to Me Too, to the campaign to get rape as a weapon of war, recognized as a war crime. Israel is utterly cynical and will deploy anything to further its ends.
And then, Arun, I also want to bring up the fact that we have in this moment a United States that is continuing to fuel this war with weapons. And Biden repeated some of the wild claims that were made to paint Hamas as animals, about the, you know, slaughter of babies without any evidence whatsoever. And I don't know if they've explicitly cited the reports that you debunk, but the U.S., you know, plays this huge role that is essentially us waging a proxy war on Palestinians, because it's our weapons.
Right. It's our weapons. It's our economic aid, right? All this economic aid, what it does is allow Israel to, instead of spending money on, you know, social welfare and the healthcare and infrastructure and things the government does, it transfers it straight to the military. The U.S. provides cover in the United Nations, vetoing the ceasefire resolutions. It browbeats European allies joining this brutal genocide of Palestine. And of course, they have their own reasons to do so as well. But none of this would happen without the United States. And, you know, and of course, we have to reject all the anti-Semitic explanations that this has anything to do with Jews, because, you know, we've seen American Jews at the forefront of opposition to the genocide, just doing, you know, incredibly heroic demonstrations and actions. You know, if groups like Jewish Voices for Peace, and If Not Now. But Israel, and, you know, Netanyahu said this recently, basically is a U.S. aircraft carrier in the Middle East. That's why the US expends all this political effort and money and weapons to make this possible. And now we just see this just terrible, all these months and months talking about ceasefire. And Hamas correctly is refusing to have a temporary ceasefire because we saw what happened after the first ceasefire. Israel just doubled down on its genocide. And so even if it's a 6 week ceasefire, so what? They're going to just go back to their genocide after that. There has to be a permanent ceasefire. Israel has to end its criminal, illegal, genocidal occupation. And, yes, and then the hostages should be freed. And what gets lost in this is a final point I'd like to make is there is documented sexual and gender-based violence against Palestinian women and girls in both the West Bank and especially Gaza. And that's one of the basically propaganda campaigns that has been going on that I'm detailing in the forthcoming piece in Yes Magazine, that Israeli operatives are using these fake claims to basically silence fake claims of rape, to silence UN women's organizations who are documenting the sexual violence against Palestinian women and girls currently going right on in Gaza. And again, I think this is very much like these 19th century panics about Native Americans and slaves, that it was that the Native Americans and slaves are raping white women when the sexual violence was being done by the colonizers against Native American women and against black women. And this is just the same historical story we've seen for centuries.
Arun, I want to thank you so much for joining us. And we'll, of course, link to your story in Yes from Rising Up's website. And good luck to you.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Arun Gupta, investigative journalist whose work has appeared in The Washington Post, The Nation, The Daily Beast, The Raw Story, The Guardian, The Intercept, and Yes Magazine, where his latest story just published called Claims of Mass Rape by Hamas Unravel Upon Investigation. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, senior editor at Yes Media and host of Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Our audio podcast is on iTunes and Spotify.